Aloha. Who we got on the call today? We got Uncle Nick.
Hey, brother.
Hey, how's it going?
Most wonderful, bride dear. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Ah, lovely morning here. Yeah, just been watching the rainbows.
Lovely, mate. Is our darling Taylor with us?
Taylor is, I'm sure she's here right now. I'm sure she'll be here shortly. So we have a bunch of wonderful superheroes on the call who, of course, we're very excited to connect with. And just to get started, I just want to mention quickly that anyone on the call, if you press star 2, we can unmute you and you can ask us questions. So just remember that, star 2, and that's all you need to know. We'll be able to talk to you. Nick, would you love to start off with a nice little grounding, a prayer to get in the zone?
Sure, brother. Absolutely. So let's just all take a moment, take a few breaths, and just get really comfortable. And let's just really drop into that heart space for a moment. Whether it's the afternoon or the evening or the morning, wherever you are. Just close the eyes and just drop into that tenderness. Our beings, our true being is so tender. And it's shimmering with beauty, the beauty of tenderness. And that's what we can really make a connection to, this eternal presence. And it's always here, closer to us than we are ourselves, or our egos are to ourselves. So let's just welcome that presence in the name of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of love, hallelujah. In the name of love, Almighty Mother, Father, God, we are your children, your humble children. We gather here in our innocence and our humility, offering our bodies, hearts, and minds and souls to you once again. Just giving thanks for your holy presence, and just as we gather here today, asking for the blessings of grace to flow through us all so that we can say what needs to be said and understand what needs to be understood, communicating wisdom, sharing wisdom, and most of all, experiencing the living truth, your living wisdom coming in your light and your love. Bless us all, and let's make this call such an awesome call that the ramifications of it send blessings out all over the world, that it transforms everyone that's listening to it. It has positive benefits, eternal benefits for the highest good of all beings, forever and ever, in the name of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of love. Hallelujah. Amen, om. And just breathe in that love, just breathe in that love. Just allow yourself to fill with the grace, and just take a few breaths there, just let the grace come pouring in. Giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, yes.
The inner riches.
So, brother, I know we haven't got many questions tonight. I thought it'd be nice just to put things, as we'd love to do, in the context.
Absolutely.
And an update of current situation and why superhero training is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of superhero training, why it's so relevant and critical. So, we are in exceedingly powerful times right now. Everyone but the living dead, and there are plenty of them, anyone but the living dead cannot help but be aware of the extraordinary epoch humanity is facing, particularly the Western world, particularly the United States of America. There's so much confusion. There's so much disagreement and disinformation in the world now that even the most informed, well-informed of us that have a tremendous ability to balance all kinds of different perspectives can't help but just surrender all of that and just let it go to just escape from all of the stress and the chaos that goes with the confusion in the world. Because as soon as you plug into perspectives now, ideologies, points of view, people thinking this, people thinking that, people saying this, people saying that, you're connecting to the whole cacophony of noise. So what superhero training is for, and the essence of, that we repeat over and over and over, is to allow us to experience, not think about or ideologize or philosophize or have opinions and ideas about, but actually experience the eternal peace of the almighty presence of life that laps like a great ocean against the shores of our soul. And he's always there. And while things are going okay, you know, we're getting by, or we're even doing very well and acquiring material things and flexing our creative muscles, our ability to create this, that, and the other, and manifest this, that, and the other, we have a tendency to ignore this thing. And we do so at our peril. And what we're witnessing in the world today is the consequence of human ignorance, the ignoring this thing. And everything is going to be silenced. It's all going to go quiet. And so what we want to be doing is getting ahead of the game and connecting through the tenderness, through the beauty of our own inner being, which is shimmering tenderness, connecting to this almighty presence, surrendering all our notions about what, how, why, surrendering all our conditions, our reasons, ego motivations for doing it, and just being this heart-centered surrender, just out of the pure innocence and humility, because that's the thing to do. And as you do that, you become like a lighthouse in the storm, and you're able to guide and calm people with your presence, facilitate circles and sharings and meetings and groups, or just one other person and give them something real, bring something real into the room, into the world. Bring something eternal, the only thing that's real. And as more and more and more of us do that, the more we can create these little islands, oases of sanity and safety and peace as the world becomes more chaotic. And nothing's more needed than that right now. So here we are, brother. Another wonderful call. Reunited once again. We few. The happy few, brother.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. That's why we created this opportunity, so we could create sanity. Sanity in an insane world. So just realize, everyone listening to this, that you have the opportunity to become one of those lighthouses Nick was just talking about, so that you are conscious of who you really are and experiencing those deeper states. And remember, it's just a matter of making time and being willing to be humble. We've got all the tools here for you. These things work absolutely if and only if they're applied. We live in a fast food culture where everyone wants to have the magic pill and not have to do any work. But realistically, we just need a little bit of surrender, a little bit of energy. It doesn't have to be over the top, but just one step at a time, and it builds on itself and gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And you've got to keep taking those steps. So let's take some questions. We've got someone here with their hand up right away from, looks like Colorado. Would you like to say hello? Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Who is this?
Superhero Kurt.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Good.
Well, I thought it would be appropriate to start with me because, I'm having a very difficult time getting started. And, but first of all, I'd like to say that there's really not anything that you don't say that you say that I don't completely resonate with. And I'm on this path, and for the last 2 years, I've been waking up and just totally on board with everything you say. However, trying to write those three intentions has, I sat for 4 days with my journal in front of me, and it just completely overwhelmed. I just, it brings up, you know, my whole story. And I'm surprised at how difficult it is. Knowing how much I know, having all the tools, I feel so blocked. That's where I'm at.
Kurt, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. Put your hands on your heart. And just really allow yourself to surrender to your grief, brother. Your beautiful, sensitive soul living in an insane, absolutely insane world. In the absolute end of it. Nothing makes any sense, mate. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with being overwhelmed. Most people are overwhelmed. It's just that some people can adapt and adjust, be well adjust, more better at adjusting to madness than others. But there's nothing heroic in being well adjusted to a completely insane society. So the thing is, my friend, is first of all to not be in denial about the overwhelm, not be in denial about the fact that you can't write your intentions, and use your mind to put things into a perspective that brings you peace. Because at the end of the day, my friend, superhero training and the whole spiritual path of being a real, genuine ambassador of goodness and truth in this world is a very simple, utterly simple gesture of surrender. And you're just as well to be on your knees, weeping, in absolute surrender to this almighty presence, this ocean that laps against the shores of your soul, and will do forever. You're just as well to be on your knees, weeping in surrender to that, and allowing your ego and all your stuff and all your story to just melt, and allowing your personality, your persona, that thinks it should be doing this, that, and the other, that it has, might be criticizing you because you can't set your intentions, allowing that to break down to the point where it has to absolutely admit that it can't manage its life. That life is unmanageable, utterly unmanageable, without this relationship with this divinity. And this relationship isn't like a genie in a bottle where you're asking this, telling this thing what to do. It's you dying sufficiently so in the most appropriate way so that this thing fills you. And you become it. So this isn't a little thing we're talking about here. This is a big thing. And it's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable for people to allow themselves to break down and admit that their life has become unmanageable, that they can't even move forward, that they don't even know what to do, where to go, how to make any sense of anything, regardless what it is. And we're in a time now, socially and socio-politically, and also astrologically and cosmologically, where we have no choice. Absolutely no choice. The astrological configurations that are impacting us right now, cosmological orientations, are so phenomenally intense that we absolutely have no choice whatsoever. And those of us that are a little bit more sensitive or aren't numbing ourselves to the degree that others are, or aren't occupying ourselves with distractions to the degree that others are feeling this. And it is absolutely overwhelming, utterly overwhelming, because the presence of eternity is made to these little people that we are. So accept the facts of life. Don't be in denial about it all. All things work for the good of those who love God. All things work for the good of those who love God. And if you're on superhero training, if you're a spiritual warrior, you love God. And that's it. Whatever you call it, however you relate to it, you love it. And it loves you. So all things work for the good. So you can lift your head up through your tears as your ego's melting down and your stories are dying and everything that you have in place which maintains some semblance of sanity, which is another word for being well adjusted to an insane world. You can lift your head up, take your breaths, and fill yourself up with this eternal presence, boy.
Yeah, I totally get that. And through this process, I've gotten into touch that I am in total panic, and that I have to numb myself so that I don't feel this panic that I live with, that I have been living with. And when I think about moving forward, the dysfunction that, you know, are my story, scare me but also I feel like I don't have the foundation to get up on my own two legs because I was dysfunctional at such an early age and have been living my life as a grown, wounded child. And I when I try to stand up on my own two feet, it feels like there's nothing underneath me because I've never been taught, I've never been loved, I've never been respected. And so when I go to set intentions, that dysfunction shows up right away and is this block right from the get-go.
Here's what I'd recommend you do, because it sounds like there's a block that stops you from setting your intentions. All this stuff comes up, right? Superhero training is designed specifically to help you create a foundation from scratch. You don't have to have one first. So what I'd recommend you do is you don't worry about the intentions. Send them to us later. Like, you don't just put that aside and just trust that it will come in good time. And just start watching the videos, listening to the meditations, and just all you've got to do, and this applies to everyone who's starting out, is just study with an open receptive vessel, be an open cup, be an empty cup, and just be willing to learn and receive the information. And then just step by step, very gently, just apply one thing at a time, you know, very, very slowly. There's no like massive expectation that you have to do all these things like immediately and become all these things immediately. That's not what we're expecting. Just gradually receive the information and gradually apply it. And a lot of this stuff we're sharing with you is like meditation, so you can just put your headphones on and lie down and just absorb it. You know, you don't even have to do a lot with many of the things. They're like done to you in a way, in a good way, and it shifts your consciousness. And then there are little steps that as you keep taking those little steps, baby steps, they build one on top of each other gradually, slowly but surely. And then after a while, you have a foundation. So it doesn't matter if you don't have one now. You're creating one from scratch. So all you've got to do is just take those little steps. How does that sound?
Yeah. Great. I mean, that's what I have been doing. I listen to your videos over and over and over. And, you know, I really am conscious about reparenting myself and loving myself. But it's, yeah, I mean, I have been working really hard. I'm amazed at how difficult and how strong this initial, you know, challenge is.
Yeah.
So,
it's, you know, you've got to laugh at it. You've got to laugh it out a little bit. Try it out and laugh it out.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, the good news is I know that once I get over this, I'm going to be there. And I think this is because I'm so resonating with what you're saying and have that experience in my life while having the experience of my story, and I thought it wouldn't be this difficult and this challenging, but it is. So from my conversation with Mr. Michelle, I have gone on to session 3 and have started the tapping, the faster EFT, and I will just take it at my own pace.
Yeah, this is Taylor. Sorry I got on a little late. So I missed really the whole beginning of this conversation, including, what's your name, the individual that's sharing?
Kurt. And I probably sound like a female, but I am a guy. Everybody.
No, you sound like a guy. No, you sound like,
okay.
Yeah, well, just so you know, everyone thinks I'm a guy, so there you go. of course, it doesn't help that I have the name Taylor. That could help. But anyway, here's what I want to say, Kurt, and again, I'm, you know, recognizing that I'm coming in at the end here. Here's my suggestion. If all that you create is an intention, because while it's true, you could let your intentions form, as Michael was suggesting, and fair enough, that's a good idea, you know. And I would recommend that to everyone in the superhero train, actually, to constantly be upgrading, refining, redefining your intentions, because you're going to be changing and evolving, and so will your intentions. So that's just a good idea in any case. But I like the idea of having a starting point for you. And just so you know, what I heard you say is you don't have a foundation, you know, you weren't loved, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That means really nothing in terms of what you need to move forward from here, because all there is really is living in the present moment, and everything else is an illusion. The past is an illusion. The future is an illusion. It's all an illusion. And furthermore, all negative conversations are an illusion. Now that's a challenge for the mind to wrap itself around. So, yeah, you might want to spend a little time with that, but either way, that's the way it is. So
Okay, good.
So then every time you hear yourself having some, you know, conversation that feels like a negative kind of downward spiral, you can remind yourself, oh, you know what, that's not even true. So that's probably not the best thing to get caught up in. And really, all there is for all of us, you know, all of us, it, as a human being of light, our mission here as a spiritual being in human form is to open to receive the love and the divine connection that we already are. So there's really no place to get to, per se. And that's key to remember, that you, doesn't matter where, you know, what kind of childhood you had or what you've been through, all that stuff. I mean, it's useful, you know, and it determines this and that. But really, where you really came from is who you really are, is your divine soul and higher self. And that ain't changing and never going to change. And so my suggestion to you, just maybe as a starting point intention, is just to have your intention to open more fully to the divine being of love that you are, and to organize yourself in such a way that you're attracting and expressing that in everything you do. And that's not just a darn good intention for everybody, but you know what I'm saying? That kind of then creates a real roadmap for you as to what to organize yourself around, what to pay attention to, what to put energy into, and what not. I mean, is this communicating to you?
Yes, and I do that to a great deal, but you know, my addictions, I mean, everything is at an extreme in my life right now, as I'm sure it is for most people on the planet. My addictions are at an extreme also. And addictions, from what I've been studying, you know, they're addictions because they're addictive. And I haven't been able to, even with shining consciousness and shining as much love as I can, they're still, you know, they're still going wild. And that's, and I'm doing both of this at the same time, because I have a wonderful yoga practice. I channel all of this love and light, and then I come back to my place, and then my addiction takes over. And it's just this back and forth, both things happening at the same time in my life. So I really get what you're saying, and I experience what you're saying, that I am God, and that all of this is taking place now, and at the same time, my addictions and dysfunctions are just as active as the positive love and light that I'm experiencing. So my experience has been, I am focusing on loving myself. I am focusing on taking every action I can to better my life and just live in the love and light. And then my addictions, my lack of self-care, all of the dysfunctions, that whole story, it's still powerful. It still has great influence on my life. So that's the frustration, that is the challenge before me, and that is what really I'm just in awe of, is that it's just that both of these things can be happening at the same time.
Okay, well.
Well, welcome to life on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, it just comes down to what you're going to focus on and what you're going to organize yourself around. And, you know, it's something that we're all dealing with in various different degrees. And, you know, there's the only way out is up. The only way out is in. The only way out is to have dominion over your desires and what you want to be focused on. And so, you know, that's that. You put yourself, hey, look, it's not that bad because, you know, something got you in the superhero training. So you're way, way, way ahead of the game just because you're here and having this conversation. So they don't have
that
much power. You know what I'm saying? So they got what they got, but, you know, they're going down. So I would just look at it like that. And, you know, not fuss around about it and have it be a big deal. Just have it be that's your mission. That's what you're in the superhero training. Look, I mean, people don't come to a superhero training unless they have some kind of desire to be a superhero. Well, there you go. Your mission is to be a superhero over these levels of disharmony that no longer serve you. There you go. That's your mission. That's your intention. And you got all the material you need in this training to succeed. So, you know, hallelujah.
Including a lot of focus on addiction and how to deal with yourself, how to relate to yourself in addiction. So I just want to give you a little feedback on what I just heard you saying there, Kurt, as well. The beautiful thing about superhero training is, you know, especially these calls, you get different perspectives from myself, Taylor, and Michael. But none of us, to my knowledge, unless superhero training has radically changed its ethos since I've been traveling, none of us would say that I am God. So when you're in your ego and you're in your addiction and you're playing out dysfunctionality, it's got nothing to do with God. That's not God expressing himself, discovering himself through some, you know, addiction that we're playing out. That's our ego's trip. The ego is not God. That's the ego's absolutely not. So at that point, you see, if you can, when you can manage yourself, and you obviously can manage yourself very well, you know, and bringing the light, as you say, in various circumstances, when there's other people involved, I'm sure you're quite wonderful at delivering the goodness. When you're managing yourself and when you're in deep meditation and communion, then you can be, you don't need to be asking for help. But when you're dysfunctional and you're playing out these patterns, that's exactly the time when you need to be asking for help. As opposed to thinking that you're God and you can manage your life. And that's what I was talking about in the beginning there. You see? So when we, specifically in the training, when we're dealing with addictions, there's a couple of key points. And Taylor hinted at that in what she was saying. One of the main things is the way you relate to yourself. If you're beating yourself up, telling yourself negative stories, and you have a, well, as soon as you start talking about this, it's only natural, you go into a little negative vibration, your voice changes, and you go on a little downward spiral, which reinforces the ego. It reinforces the wounded child, the victim, and the victim and the wounded child get fed. You see?
Yeah.
And these are patterns that we have, and they exist, and they have different forms, and they want feeding, and attention is one of the ways the victims get fed. So when we're victims, part of us is addicted to staying in this pattern and likes to talk about its story because it has good reason to, because it's doing these things. But the thing is can you do these things, be caught in these addictions, and not confuse yourself with your actions? Because you're not your actions, you're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings, you're none of those things. As a spiritual being, you're completely not those things. So if you want to carry on your ego game, then you can just keep singing your victim song. But if you want to take it on, and this is what the whole thing's for, there's a gift in it. Like I was saying, all things work for the good of those who love God. And addiction is one of the prize jewels that you can receive when you learn to disassociate from your actions when you're in these patterns. So this is what I was saying at the beginning to you that I don't think you really heard, was not being in denial about any of this stuff. And really accepting this situation. And when you're in these situations, being conscious enough to dissociate from the actions and identify with the part of yourself that's observing.
Okay.
And bring tenderness, this is what I was saying about getting down on your knees and crying your tears and putting your hands together in front of your heart and praying, asking for some liberation from this and humbling yourself and allowing your ego to die. Because it's a victim, and I can hear it in your voice. And superhero training has zero interest in feeding ego stories. None of us. And we could all tell some really shocking stories. I could tell you stories, my friend, that would absolutely astonish you.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, there's no...
So you get what I'm saying about that, yeah? So why don't we get into a little experience now instead of theory? Why don't you get down on your knees and put your hands together in front of your heart? Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And anyone else who's listening to this training, who thinks they know what's up, especially if they think they're God and their lives are dysfunctional, some or all of the time, get down on your knees right now. Put your hands together in front of your heart. And I'm going to do it right now, and I'm having the best day ever. Now, you'll notice when you put your hands together in front of your heart and you get down on your knees, something happens. Your state changes. Your state changes, and you can get into a little more of this accurate context that I was describing at the beginning of this call between our little isolated ego cells and the eternal presence. Now, the core essence in superhero training is faith. We call it nitya. That's the old Sanskrit word for it, but it's a burning essence of faith. Now, that exists inside of you already, no matter what. However difficult your life's been, and however much love you had or you didn't have, whatever addiction patterns you've been in, for ever how long, it's irrelevant. That faith exists inside of you. The seed knows what it is. So just breathe in there with your hands together and find that place inside of you that knows what it is. And it's a tiny, 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 Jesus said it's the size of the grain of a mustard seed. It's a tiny place. We call it soul consciousness, and it burns with an eternal light. It burns with an eternal fire. It burns with an eternal love. And you can breathe that. Can you get in touch with that, Kurt? Can you feel it?
I'm feeling something. I'm with you. Yes.
Okay, so keep breathing, get out of your head, drop down into the tenderness of your heart. You've got to reach for this with your tenderness. And this is the wound. This is why Jesus is often depicted with his bleeding heart, dripping blood. This is the tender heart of the spiritual warrior. It's a bleeding heart. So we can't find our salvation, we can't find this eternal connection, we can't find ourselves through our heads, through our minds, through our egos, through our discipline, through our intentions, through our focusing, through our practicing. We can only find it through this tender, sweet-hearted goodness that we are. And if you're not in touch with that place, you're going to be broken down until you get in touch with it. Life's going to break you down. It's going to break everyone down, everything, everyone. It's all going to get broken down. So people are on their knees in touch with their bleeding heart. And egos are going to be crushed. And they're being crushed right now. That's what's happening. And your relationship with that presence, based on that heart connection, is a relationship that is built breath to breath. That means if you forget about it, when you get up into your head with all your ideas and get back into your ego with all your stories, you've lost the connection, and it's done. So you're not building from there. But the more time you spend in your innocence and your humility, to do it. Taylor and Michael and I, we've all been broken absolutely down in our lives, utterly crushed, and we've had to build ourselves up from there. And anyone that's really worth their salt and is real deal in this world would tell you a similar story.
Well, absolutely brilliant. This is the missing link. I really feel the grace, and thank you so much. I think this was the missing link. Thank God.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Michael.
Thank God.
Should we take this question then?
Sure, I think it's very relevant, brother.
Did you hear any of what I just said? Because I... Or is this... I think my phone went weird for a second there.
I didn't hear what you just said. I heard you say about
you
the
did?
Question.
Question from Andrea, yeah? So, we've got a question here from Mexico City. Alejandra, she's basically saying, I've been watching
guy.
The videos.
It's a,
huh?
It's a
the guy.
Guy,
is it?
It's
the guy, oh,
it's
excuse
guy.
Me. The...
It's a guy, and his name's Alejandro.
Alejandra, pardon me.
Yeah. Alexandra, well, yeah.
Looked like Alexandra. But anyway, it's good to know that. He's saying, I've been watching the videos, listening to the audios, applying the technique and doing inner self-image and other things every day. Nevertheless, I've been undergoing some weird and unexpected changes. I've felt irritable and been either having discussions or drifting away from people I used to be close to. It feels strange since I thought the training was going to help me to be more in peace with myself and others. And I'm confused and don't know if I'm doing something wrong or if this is normal for the process. Thank you and lots of love. Awesome question. So I'll just share something quickly here and then I'll let you guys share. Basically, whenever we have a deep transformation, when we're really going deep, it's going to bring up stuff. It's going to make you feel weird. If you don't feel at all strange after doing this inner work, it means nothing has happened. Yeah? No transformation occurs without some shift, and the shift normally is uncomfortable because it's different. So as soon as you do something that shifts your awareness, you start feeling, you start moving into unknown territory, into no man's land. And this is something I share with people all the time, especially superheroes, is that you're going to have to get used to being in no man's land and feel all right with it. Because as you move through the shifts and the transformations, and you're going to find yourself in bizarre places in yourself, and quite often bizarre places in your life and in your relationships and in what you're doing. So on the inner world, it's different than normal. And on the outer world, it's often different as well. So there's doubly weird, right? And this is what Nick was talking about as well. Everything's breaking down, nothing's stable, and it's all being pulled apart. So I just wanted to address that part of it, that, you know, you're not doing anything wrong at all if you're feeling weird. In fact, it's a good sign that there are genuine shifts happening and you're being able to see your life from a different place. And then looking back on your relationships, they no longer kind of make as much sense as they used to. And from that place, you can now recreate your relationships with people from who you've become rather than who you were. So don't feel there's anything wrong, and this applies to everyone on Superhero Training. If anyone's feeling weird, frustrated, or as if their life is not doesn't make sense, it's extremely good sign, not a bad thing whatsoever. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I would concur 100%. And great question. Really appreciate you taking the time to send that question in. You know, there's a great saying, change causes upset. That's just the whole story there. And like Michael's saying, that's what we want to do. We want to take and shake this whole foundation, much of which is built on inherited patterns, things we didn't even choose, ways of being that we have not consciously selected for ourselves. They're going to come up, and they'll be like, whoa, what the heck? I mean, wow, this is something that, wow. You know, it's like a whole, it's an adventure show, really. And that's one of the ways to kind of hold the path of evolution and transformation. You know, to have a little, I don't know who it was, Michael or Nick said, to have a little humor, but to get to a place where you can be sort of fascinated by all this. Like, wow, that's interesting. Wow, what's that about? And really see it for the genuine growth and evolution that's occurring for yourself. The fact that you can even be consciously aware of perhaps patterns or ways of being that up till then were just, that's just who you were, so to speak, who you had identified yourself to be. So the mission of the Superhero Train is to take that down, to really disassemble the ego and to be able to lay it out and put it in plain view for what it really is. And be able to disassociate ourselves with it in a powerful way where we've got true power and mastery with ourselves. And that's the game. That's what we're all playing here. And so, yes, it's a great, sounds like you're going through all the motions there. And then the other thing I would say, you know, with regard to finding yourself, distancing yourself from people that perhaps you were close to before, you know, I've said this many times, but not to this little group, but I often tell people, hey, you know, if you're going to get involved in a spiritual path of evolution, just up front know that that may mean losing everyone that you currently are close to. And so just, you know, just know that's kind of that comes with the territory. You know, if you're packing a backpack to go on an adventure, that you put in a compass, well, you know, in the superhero adventure backpack, you know, what goes in there is, possibly all my current relationships may be up for grabs. And that's just, again, good information to have on this path because in many cases, a lot of those relationships that were maybe important to your so-called close, what you're discovering, the more you become closer to who you are and discovering who you are, is that none of those relationships were based on that being at all. You know, they were perhaps based on this ego self, which is deteriorating. And so it's not uncommon that you really get like, whoa, yeah, this, I don't know, what was it I saw in this relationship anyhow? You know, and you start to really call to question what is important to you in an intimate relationship, what qualifies as a human being that you want to share intimacy, closeness, or time with, and that could change altogether, completely. You know, one of the things I discovered early on in that path is that my family of origin, I didn't feel as close to as my new spiritual family, like Michael, Nick, and, you know, those that you're perhaps going to make connections with in the Superhero Train at all. Because these were people that actually were in communion with me, in relationship with the me that I had discovered that I really was, my essence, my true self. And so it's an exciting adventure. This is a real discovery of yourself, and in that process, your entire environment, literally, from what you eat to where you choose, you know, who you choose to spend time with to where you live, is kind of up for grabs. The clothes you wear is all like, whoa, okay, hold on a minute. You know, everything is changing here, and this is really something else. And, you know, that, again, that's the best news ever. That's just, that's the path to superhero. And so, yeah, I would say you're firmly on it, and keep going.
Well, I'd agree, and I'd love to add a couple of little things as well. And Alejandro, yeah, discúlpeme, yo sé que mujer. Sorry about that, Mike. Alejandra is a lady. So the sensitivity as well that you have, more so because you're a woman, as soon as you start tapping into the eternal, it's a completely different game you're playing. And if all of your friends and family are still in the temporary and in the world and interested in those things, it's like you've just, you know, kind of grown up. And it's very, very common to be challenged with this. There's a nice little quote from the Gospel of Thomas, attributed to something Jesus said. The Gospel of Thomas is one of the Gnostic Gospels that was discovered a while ago. And he says, the seeker should not stop until he finds. When he finds, he will be disturbed. He will be astonished. Then he will reign over everything. So when we find these spiritual riches, this spiritual truth, it's a living truth. So we provide exercises, and we make recommendations for you so that you can experience this living truth. The words, you know, the wisdom, the, you know, the books, the PDFs, whatever you're reading and studying, they're all like signposts, and they either point you in the right direction or they don't. So what we try and do is make it all experiential. So we just had a beautiful example with Kurt, where we were discussing all of these, you know, this situation from kind of a mental level, and then it was like, okay, well, let's drop into the experience. Let's actually humble ourselves, get on our knees, open our hearts to this presence, get in touch with the wound of all this, and allow the magic to happen. And it did. So when you start tapping into this, you, as Jesus said in that quote there, you're going to become disturbed. And the disturbance can bring up all kinds of stuff, because as a soul, we're recording all of our experiences. And so we can have stuff in our subconscious and our unconscious that comes floating up, because we're getting into these spiritual practices. And I was saying at the beginning, when it was defining the context, the astrological and cosmological situation right now is becoming more and more acute. It's becoming more and more intense. We're in there's huge effects of the moons right now, these four so-called blood moons that are coming through this year. The second one is either this one that's on right now or very shortly soon that's following it. And then there's two more next year. we have extraordinary, irrefutable evidence of some planetary stuff going on that is changing the magnetics in the world and therefore changing the magnetics in our body. The astrological influences right now are all combining, all of those factors I just described are all combining so that our stuff is coming up like never before. So we're having to deal with this. And we need to be in our own, either in our own space or with individuals that are on a similar level of sensitivity, on a similar learning curve and have a similar enthusiasm for the practices and the process, and are maybe on a similar destiny in terms of moving through what they need to move through as quickly as possible in order to serve and be like a lighthouse in the stormy times. So, as Taylor was saying, and Michael as well, you know, there's no wonder. These are positive symptoms. And just like we were saying to Kurt, reminding Kurt, all things work for the good of those who love God. So it's all working for us, Alejandra. And there's no easy way to go through the unpleasant, challenging times. All you can do, especially with the things that you specifically mentioned, irritability, when you're feeling really irritable, you know, and it might be slipping into anger or frustration. The best thing you can do is like I was saying with Kurt, it's not being denial about it. If you're irritated, frustrated, angry, it's good to express red energy, to move it, not in a way where you're attacking people, but, to do some vigorous exercise, for example, to really move energy rather than just sitting around trying to meditate, you know, and dealing with that kind of stuff. And definitely don't be attacking people with it. You know, use it. You're better off, you know, smashing something. I had a girl that came on to did a Gentle Warrior program with me in Kauai years ago, and she had a lot of rage, you know, which is extreme anger suppressed, which would manifest as frustration and irritability. So she was quite unpleasant to be around. So she came and did this program with me. And this particular day when we addressed this issue, I had her beating this log with a kind of like a foam, a big foam, stiff foam thing. So, you know, she wasn't hurting the log, she wasn't hurting herself, she wasn't hurting this piece of foam, but she was able to release all of this stuff. Now, I took her up there, did a little ceremony, explained everything, what was going on, and sat with her for 2 hours solid while she was beating on this log with all this energy for 2 hours. And she was still going strong. So after 2 hours, I thought, well, I'm going to leave you to it. I'm going to go down and, make some hydration drinks or something. So I went down to the house. An hour later, an hour and a half, she comes down, absolutely covered in sweat, comes very calmly into the kitchen, very calmly, and starts drinking this hydration drink that I made, and didn't say anything while she was drinking it, just a very sweet, calm presence. And then didn't say anything, left the room, went back up the hill, and started smashing the shit out of this thing for another 3 hours. And literally spent 6 hours beating on this log, this woman. So I'm not saying you have that kind of irritability, the degree of anger, rage, whatever inside of you, but it exists. And one of the things that's really important as well in terms of context, helping us understand, you know, why we're feeling the way we're feeling and other people aren't, and why, you know, the reason why we're drifting away from people is that the people that are awakening in the world right now, and there's not really, you know, in terms of the general mass population, there's not really a large number of us that are actually really waking up. The people that aren't, we are like pressure release valves on the surface of the planet Earth. And the Earth right now is like a pressure cooker. And the karmic pressure, the ancestral pressure, the pressure of these astrological, cosmological, planetary circumstances are providing the planet Earth the opportunity to release this pressure. Hence, you've got all these volcanoes going off, earthquakes. There's been so many earthquakes happening that they, ever since Fukushima, they have downgraded the criteria that is required on the Richter scale to register as a 7.0 earthquake and above, which is a massive earthquake. A 7.0 is extremely serious. But what they did is they downgraded the Richter scale. So that now a 6 is an old 7. And there's all, if you look and if you fit like I do, you know, there's literally thousands and thousands and thousands of earthquakes occurring right now that are in the 5.5, 6 region. And theirs are all, have been downgraded. So the Earth, there's a tremendous pressure building within the Earth. And what it is the pressure of is releasing the karma of all the ancestors, all our generations of ancestors that have preceded us, that have been living in ignorance. We talked about that word, about ignoring this eternal presence and carrying on in ego mode and doing a bunch of crazy shit. And not clearing it, not forgiving it, not doing anything to release it and purify and transmute it, the Earth. And it has to be cleansed. And so that's what's happening right now. And so those of us that are awakening, we are like pressure release valves on the pressure cooker all over the Earth in these random places. And if we're not absolutely grounded in spiritual practice and just allowing this energy to flow through us, and even if we are grounded in this, in spiritual practice, depending on who we are, we're freaking feeling it. Seriously feeling it. So we need to be able to manage it. So whatever it is you're feeling, and you mentioned irritability and you know, been having discussions or drifting away from people you used to be close to and how strange it feels. Well, just understand that you are releasing a tremendous amount of pent-up karmic, ancestral, and terrestrial negative energy. And you're obviously doing that in a very masterful way. So what I would encourage you to do if it keeps continuing is to, you know, express yourself vigorously when you need to. Do what you need to do to move that energy. A little more yang action is required in these circumstances rather than yin, especially if it starts to increase in intensity.
Yeah, powerful times. Very, very strange and powerful times. So, We have any other questions? We can take them now, otherwise you have plenty to be getting on with training. And just realize that we need to learn how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Now, it might sound a bit strange, but that's basically what it comes down to. How to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And once you realize that you're going to feel a little bit strange as you change, you're going to get used to feeling strange, and then it's going to become normal, and then you'll start feeling good, and you'll go beyond. That's just a different way of living. So CBO training is teaching you how to live in the new paradigm. That's just an expression that some people use, a new way of being. We're teaching you how to maintain your true sanity, not trying to fit in with the world, but actually be conscious and be able to deal with life as it is now. So it's fun and games. You've got to be able to laugh at it as well. We all have a good laugh when we get together. Whenever we chat, we're always having a good laugh because we have to have a sense of humor about all this, because otherwise it is very, very dark, heavy stuff. So we have to sort of see the kind of amusement of it, despite it being very serious. So with that
yeah,
said...
Well,
yeah.
One quick last thing. What Mike's saying about laughter. We laugh a lot, and I was making myself laugh the other day. I watched a load of YouTube stand-up comedy things and looked up jokes, and I really made myself laugh because I really needed to. but it's also being comfortable with the emotional scale, developing sanity, and this is something we could do a special call on, or a special little package for, that we haven't really super focused on in Superhero, is being comfortable with the emotional scale. Now, and also your psychological scale as well. So the emotional scale going, you know, from sadness into, the highest states of bliss and everything, every note in between. It's like an octane with all these notes, or a rainbow with all these colors. And also mentally, psychologically, Michael and I are English, so we're allowed to be eccentric. We're encouraged to be eccentric, the English are, because they're discouraged to express themselves emotionally. So English, traditionally, we're not very good with going up and down the scale of emotion and venting and expressing emotion up and down, and all the guys as well. We're usually body, and so they're more skilled at that. So going up and down the emotional thing is a skill. So if you're denied that and discouraged that as a culture, which we were because we're English, then there has to be a release valve somewhere. And so the English are encouraged to be eccentric. And we were lucky enough to grow up in a time where eccentricity through Monty Python and various other outlets of madness was, completely socially acceptable. So we can express our lunacy, our insanity, which is a kind of like the mental way of dealing with the emotional suppression and repression. So the only point I'm making, Alejandra, is, and everyone's listening, is allow your madness to express. Allow yourself to be spontaneous. Sometimes I'll just run a fairy, sometimes I'll just be cracking myself up. Sometimes I'll do some really vigorous stuff. Sometimes I'll be singing. Sometimes I'll be toning. Sometimes I'll need to go and smash something, punch something, do some really yang exercise. And I'll just sit down and be in complete and utter peace. Sometimes I'll get down on my knees and just open my heart to God. And all that can happen, all of that that I drop, half an hour or even half an hour or even 20 minutes. Sometimes with me. And it's this thing that I was talking about. ghosts and not confusing your actions with who you are. And understanding that you are a flow and you need the grace. And your personality, depending on the unique personality that you are, which is defined and conditioned by your culture, the social conditioning that you had, and your particularly unique childhood, you need to be able to allow the different facets of that personality. It's like you come up, and sometimes it's really spinning. And this is a good thing if you're allowed Taylor's really into natural chi movement, which is an excuse for letting your body. Do you want to see? Taylor's still there. Everybody's gone. I'm just talking to myself. Which is
no,
a really
no.
Good
right. I'm here. I just am on mute because I'm in a loud place.
Awesome. So that's
yeah,
what I've got to say. What
fantastic.
Did you say about emotional psychological expression allowing the ladies in and Taylor loves to do.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I'm cracking up.
Nick's cracking himself up over there. So, I think he was asking Taylor what your thoughts are on emotional release.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that. How did you hear that? How exciting.
Barely. You know, me and Nick have like a... But I can kind of make him out.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I'm with all those ideas, but it's true that the fastest way to shift an emotional state is to move the body. I mean, end of story. You know, whatever you want to do, get outside and walk. I mean, whatever that you like or is immediate for you. You know, taking baths is good. Any kind of state change that you can, you know, submerging yourself in a bathtub is like, boom, jumping in the ocean, you know, if the ocean's near you. That's an immediate solution that's very effective. So it's good to come up with what strategies you have. I mean, that's for me, you know, works 100% of the time. You know, move the body, take a bath, 100% of the time. Get outside. But you want to discover what works for you. Or also it's just sometimes getting on the phone and like just being able to rant and rave with someone that likes to hear rant and raving and, you know, they're all on for that. So it's a good idea to just create a whole structure of support for yourself for when you know you're in those compressed, contracted times to for self-care. I mean, self-care is essential. Whatever you can discover that's going to work quickly. Because, you know, nobody wants to stay in those states long. And, you know, just start practicing and discover what it is. But movement, I find, is 100% effective for most everybody.
That's right. And also, you know, on the training, we talk about natural chi. I've been doing natural chi. And I haven't been completely consistent with it, but I've started up again recently, and I think it's fantastic. So we're going to tell you more about that. Does that website still, is it still around, TaylorNaturalChi.com?
Indeed it is.
Yeah, so go to NaturalChi.com if you want to find out more about natural chi movement for your shifting the energy. Shake it all out. Yeah, so Subhio training and your personal journey it's a wonder. And, you know, today's call, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the crazy things that we all have to deal with in life as we go through. You're not going to hear these things other places. You know, a lot of people don't really get it, actually. A lot of courses around, they're kind of talking about superficial things. But, you know, we want to just really go very deep with you and talk about the stuff that's going on beneath the surface, the things that you're going to have to pay attention to as the months, weeks, and years go by. So these are strategies that are going to help you manage your life. And of course, there's all these other details in life, you know, your health and relationships and money and all these details, which we talk about as well. But let's just get the foundation strong so that we can handle ourselves and how we feel as we deal with this bizarre world that we're dealing with, that we're experiencing. Taylor, would you love to just finish us off with a few thoughts or a little meditation?
I'm kind of in a loud place right now. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe it's not best that I do that.
Okay. Let's just take a moment now. I'll just hold a quick meditation for us, just a few moments. So everyone just close your eyes and just breathing deeply. And like Nick was saying earlier, reaching in side of yourself with tenderness. Just letting the body relax. Melting, allowing the mind to relax. And just feeling into that stillness, that ocean of peace within this vast consciousness that you are. Just imagine how it feels to be floating in an ocean of infinite peace that you are. Finding that safety, that security, that feeling of deep contentment and peace. And with each breath, we're just going to take a few breaths. Just increasing that peace, that sense of safety. And as you breathe out, just spreading that energy of peace all around you. You are a lighthouse. Who are you? You are a being of light. You are a lighthouse in the world where you are right now. You are a lighthouse. And as you breathe in, you breathe in that divine love. And as you breathe out, you're just sharing that peace all around you. Just going to take three breaths. Breathing in the peace. And then sharing that light that you are, that you experience all around you. Knowing that you're safe, that you're immortal, immortal consciousness, immortal presence. Smiling, and just bring that energy with you into your life, into the world around you. Have a beautiful, beautiful day wherever you are, and go deep. We'll talk to you next time. Lots of love and aloha.